It's actually Vinny Bonsignore, not JT the Brick. But gosh darn, going into that commercial break, you have Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, JT the Brick, and who do I say?
You said JT Daniels.
JT Daniels, a former five-star recruit from modern day who went to USC, Georgia, Rice, and
West Virginia.
Yeah, so it's not the JT Daniels show. It's the JT the Brick show, although Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy are lurking in there somewhere. So a lot of McDaniels, a lot of JJs and JTs and Jadens and Josh McDaniels. So anyway, my apologies, JT, but I think you totally understand. And without further ado, though, we're going to go out to the Raider Nation radio guest line and welcome in my good friend who I froze some days in New York City and sweated other days in Dallas and Houston covering the crazy story of football back to Los Angeles. Of course, I'm talking about the Los Angeles Times great reporter, Hall of Fame reporter, Sam Farmer. How are you doing, my friend? Sam, do we got you?
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise.
Yes, can you hear me?
I got you, man. I got you. Good to hear your voice as well. How are things in Southern California?
Things are good. The rain's finally stopped, which is nice, and it feels like an L.A. spring again. It was pretty bad here for a while, but we're pretty spoiled as well.
Well, and in California when it rains, and then if it starts raining excessively, we always do this, but we need it. We always say that. We always qualify it by saying we need it, which absolutely we do, even though deep down we're like, would it stop? Can it stop already? So hopefully not an El Nino situation.
Yeah.
But you
know, they say we need it for about a day, and then it's just paralyzing.
Exactly. Absolutely. There's a lot of rainstorms going on in the NFL right now. Sam,
yeah.
You know, on the eve of free agency, which is going to be hot and heavy, we both know that that it's going to be crazy next week. But as a precursor to that, we've got the Russell Wilson story unfolding right before our very eyes. No surprise that the Broncos released him. That kind of all blew up in everybody's face. It is what it is. But now he becomes a free agent, an automatic free agent. And can be had for the league minimum, with the Broncos picking up the rest of the $38 million, so about $1.2 million on whoever signs him, and the rest of the money is going to be paid for the Broncos, which I don't know about you, Sam, but that kind of makes him a little bit attractive, right? A little bit more attractive than if he was just a free agent coming off the seasons that he came off, and you were thinking about the possibility of you paying him north of $30 million. Right now, under those conditions, doesn't he become kind of an attractive option for a team needing a veteran quarterback?
Yeah, I think for a bridge player, mm-hmm. you know, a guy you'd have for a year or two, he is attractive. Certainly at that price, you do have to wonder, you know, if Sean Payton can't recapture the Russell Wilson that we once knew. Who's going to be able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think he played terribly last year.
Right.
You know, he didn't turn over the ball much. Did not play well in the red zone at all. And, you know, was really at his best in those sort of off-script situations, but couldn't escape pressure like he once could. So he's not the same Russell Wilson. But you've seen guys revive their careers. I mean, you look at, remember Kurt Warner when he went to the Giants? It
sure.
seemed like it was over.
Yeah.
And he comes back, you know, winds up in Arizona and winds up in the Super Bowl. So he is attractive, certainly to Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, that's the talk now, but a lot of teams have been mentioned. You could see a team that, although, you know, the Steelers would be punting on Kenny Pickett,
mm-hmm.
But – you know, that's a place where I could see him winding up.
Sam, you've been covering the NFL for a long time, and you've spent a lot of time in Seattle. I know that you know Pete, and you know you've covered Russell Wilson and that end of it. What happened? What can we make of what's happened with Russell Wilson's career?
Yeah, you know, that was a bit of a split locker room there, and
yeah.
It's not like Russell Wilson is an acquired taste. He's not for everybody. And he's this sort of star student sitting at the front of the class. I remember I spent a week with the Seahawks one season, and it was early in Russell Wilson's career. This might have been 2013,
mm-hmm.
but I got to sit in on all the meetings and everything, and he was always the guy right up literally in the front of the class with his pen out. And I mean, he is a hard worker, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But he was a different kind of guy, and obviously had those great years in Seattle and garnered a lot of respect. And yet they grew apart. Now, I wasn't there to sort of see the day-to-day of mm-hmm. why that happened, but you could tell, and I know you heard it too, that the Seahawks were sort of done with Russell Wilson toward the end. And so he winds up in Denver, comes that first year. It's a really bad fit, bad coaching situation with Hackett. And Russell's got sort of his entourage and his group of own personal coaches and everything. That doesn't fly the next year with Sean Payton. But those two were like oil and water, two completely different types of guys. And now he's moving on. So that tells you everything and nothing.
Right, exactly. I mean, but it does actually tell us everything. And I never bought the fit between him and Sean Payton whatsoever. And it just didn't feel right from the beginning. And it felt like it was going to be short-lived at that. I know that you're a step removed from the Las Vegas situation. And we're talking to the great Sam Farmer from the LA Times, covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times. What you know of what you've seen of Antonio Pierce, it oddly feels like that might be a pretty decent fit with he and Russell Wilson in terms of he's not this controlling kind of an offensive guru genius type that's going to want to have his fingerprints on everything that the quarterback does. I think he's a guy who's going to say to the offensive coordinator, make it work. Just do whatever you got to do, but it doesn't have to be all controlling. Let him do what he needs to do. So from your vantage point, could you see maybe that fit, oddly enough, working with Antonio Pierce and Russell Wilson, even though they appear to be two different types of people?
When you put it that way and sort of make that observation about those two personalities, I could see that as a fit. You also look at Las Vegas as one of the places where he wanted to wind up coming out of Seattle. Sierra would like Las Vegas. That's one of those cities that would work well, seemingly, for his wife. I never sort of pictured Russell Wilson as a Raider. That's just personality-wise, and that's for what that's worth. I don't know. I mean, if you were to work in that system, that'd be fine. I could envision that, but the way you put it, how Antonio Pierce would not necessarily want to put his fingerprints all over the molding of Russell Wilson into that system, and maybe he'd allow him that latitude to do what he does. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that as working. I mean, it's a team that needs an answer at quarterback, another team that needs an answer. So that could be a fit.
Yeah, I do wonder if the Raiders just kind of offer him an opportunity to just loosen up a little bit. Like, you're with the Raiders now. You don't have to be the image, Russell Wilson. You don't have to necessarily be that perfect guy. Have a little bit of fun with it. Loosen up and go play some football.
Yeah, and we have seen guys sort of flourish in that environment. I'm thinking about Rich Gannon. Mm-hmm. And Rich Gannon coming from the Chiefs and a more sort of rigid system, and he comes in, works out well with John Gruden, and he's MVP of the league. So, I mean, if you want to go all the way back, Jim Plunkett,
yeah,
and what Plunkett was able to do with the Raiders after New England. So, I could see that working. That's an interesting thought. And I hadn't really put those personalities together. I don't know Antonio Pierce as well. But that makes a lot of sense. If you give him that latitude, maybe that's a formula that works and the guy can revive his career.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with the stop in Pittsburgh that, the Steelers may not let him out of the door. I mean, do you feel, you mentioned that might be a possibility for him. How would you see that possibility working for Russell Wilson and the Steelers?
Yeah, I think, again, that you're getting Russell Wilson on the cheap. You've got a team that it's going to run the ball. It's not going to maybe ask quite as much of a quarterback, mm-hmm. and the bar isn't that high with Kenny Pickett as it is. And historically, you know, the Steelers are going to run the ball, play defense, and maybe not ask as much of their quarterback. And that could be a fit, you know. You certainly, I could see that working. And then there's talk that the Giants are interested as well.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because there was, I wouldn't say that it was a bombshell from Rich Eisen a couple of days ago, but it certainly kind of came out of nowhere. And I think we've all been curious on you know, Daniel Jones and the Giants and that relationship and how in are they truly on each other. And Rich Eisen made it sound like, based on people that he talked to, like the Giants are flat out done with Daniel Jones. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I heard that. I was surprised with how adamant Rich was
right
about that, but or you know, and he couched it as a rumor
mm-hmm.
At the combine. But you know, Daniel Jones, the last 2 years, when he played six games, had a neck, and then he's got an ACL. They signed him to a 4-year extension last year, I think at $40 million a year, and he just did nothing last season. Now he had no blocking,
right,
and you know, you see that franchise is probably going to part ways with Saquon Barkley, and it's a definitely a team in transition. I don't know if Russell Wilson or if, you know, this crop of quarterbacks coming out. I thought, well, the Giants have the sixth pick.
Right.
I think they have the sixth pick, and, you know, maybe they can get a J.J. McCarthy there. There are a lot of good quarterbacks coming out, so it would be and you could see at that cheap price getting a Russell Wilson and having him be a bridge guy to a young player. But pretty surprising that Daniel Jones would potentially be on his way out after they just signed him to that monster extension.
I know that it just seemed. But he said it so adamantly, we all know Rich that he's not going to necessarily say something
yeah.
that adamantly without actually hearing something that led him to you know say it as forcefully as he said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the stuff about buyer's remorse and
right.
Joe Shane being done with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was surprising, and Rich isn't the kind of guy who's going to just throw it against the wall.
No, not at all. You know, conversely, Sam, at the top of the draft, the Chicago Bears are sitting there with the first pick overall. I think everything points to them having their eye on Caleb Williams, the great USC star, and resetting at the quarterback position. But it leaves Justin Fields in a little bit of limbo, and the Bears in limbo in terms of what to do with Justin Fields. I mean, obviously, ideally, they would want to trade him, get some assets. To help the rebuild around a Caleb Williams as well. But what do you think we're to make of the fact that in spite of everything pointing in that direction, no deal being consummated yet? Is it just that is there a market for Justin Fields? What is that market for Justin Fields? And maybe what does it say about Justin Fields that nobody's just jumped up at the offer to get a young quarterback you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't feel like it does not feel like there's a market for him.
Right.
At least at what the Bears were expecting. And, you know, you've got a guy who never had a 3,000-yard passing season. I think he's got one 300-yard passing game. Runs a lot better than he passes. And the Bears need to fix that position. And you said it, it restarts the clock for them.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to restart the rebuilding clock and have a guy at a low salary and be able to get a Caleb Williams who would have been the number one pick in the past two drafts and it still will most likely be the number one pick, seems like the thing you have to do. You know, the top 10 passing, the Bears have not, you know, if you think about who's the best quarterback the Bears have had since Sid Luckman, it's probably Cutler. I mean,
right, exactly.
You know, it's like, I think, you know, Billy Joe Tolliver's in their top 10. I mean, it's just a position they need to fix. They need to address. And look, I had Justin Fields on my fantasy team 2 years ago, and he was terrific.
Right.
But a guy who's going to run for more yards than he passes is not probably the guy you need leading your franchise.
What do you think about the possibility that maybe you just, if you're the Bears, you know, I know you want assets for this year's draft, but what about just waiting until after the draft, letting all the dust settle, you know, for everyone else to figure out their quarterback situations through free agency and through the draft, and maybe there will be a more robust market with the teams that were shut out of the quarterback position through free agency and the draft?
Yeah, I think you might have to do that, because I just don't think you're going to get the satisfaction that you were hoping for or get the value out of. So if you're not going to get much, why don't you just wait?
Right.
And but it's certainly a disappointing market. Now you have guys, you know, Sam Howell is going to be out there. Sam Darnold, you know, they're going to be serviceable guys out there, you know, maybe Mac Jones.
Mac, right.
And then, you know, there are draft picks too that who won't be going as high, a Bo Nix or a Penix or a guy like that. So it's a very deep quarterback draft. I don't know. It seems like the market is kind of flooded with those types of guys I just don't know what you're going to be able to get for Justin Fields.
Right, exactly, which is disappointing. I think everyone wants it to work with Justin Fields, but it just hasn't translated yet, and it feels a little bit dubious what his market actually is based on the lack of activity. Because usually when you put a 23, 24-year-old quarterback out there that was a pretty high first-round pick at this stage of his, people are like running to the phone to try to make an offer, for him, and we're just not seeing that. Last one for you, Sam. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball, but it's right in your area. So I know covering LA football and LA sports, the need for relevancy in that market. I think the Rams have done a really good job of kind of recreating themselves in LA. They've gone to two Super Bowls. They've won a Super Bowl. So I think they're on their way to really making their mark in Los Angeles in a big way. But then you have the Chargers. And I think both of us know that it was going to be an uphill climb for the Chargers to establish relevancy in a crowded market. And it just, in spite of having a great young quarterback, playing in a great stadium, having good rosters, it just hasn't necessarily taken hold yet in Los Angeles. And now they go out and get Jim Harbaugh, which I think for them and what they're trying to do, trying to create some, pizzazz for themselves, was probably the right move. And in turn, and on top of the fact that he wins wherever he goes, but has that registered in Los Angeles? Has there been any effect from the Jim Harbaugh hire when it comes to the Chargers in Los Angeles?
I don't think it's really hit yet.
Yeah.
And there may be that effect. It is hard for the Chargers to generate interest in Los Angeles. And I think we'll see early in the season. But that's really an uphill climb. As you mentioned, I mean, and you know, it's been hard for the Rams. As much mm-hmm. as the Rams have done and made dramatic moves, you know, starting with that stadium and trading up for Jared Goff, all the way up to number one for Jared Goff, do all that stuff, it was still hard to start that fire. And it seems to me the Chargers would have been so much better off had they moved to Las Vegas and had the Rams moved to, or the Raiders moved to Los Angeles, because the Raiders obviously still have a big market in Los Angeles, and I think Las Vegas was hungry for a team, and that interest was there. But that's neither here nor there. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be entertaining and interesting, and if he can do what he was able to do very quickly, starting at the University of San Diego and then with the Niners and then Michigan, and mm-hmm. have all the success he has. He's got a quarterback in Justin Herbert, and He's a guy who can turn around, flip a franchise very quickly. That will be interesting, and that will get the attention of the market. But it's going to be hard to hold the attention of this market.
Yeah.
It's got to take sustained winning.
Exactly.
And, you know, we've seen it. We saw it. The interest in the Kings, you know, they win the Stanley Cup, and the interest is really high, and the next season it drops off dramatically. Or the Angels win the World Series, it drops off dramatically. So when you're the second team like the Chargers, you've got to be making a splash at all times. And I don't know that this one move at head coach is going to it's going to suffice to totally flip the franchise.
Right. I look back, Houston in January of 2016, when they made that decision, yeah. And all three owners were there and looking at Mark Davis and understanding his disappointment in being third in a three-team race and probably decidedly third, closer to third than the second. I mean, just that disparity being there. And as we fast forward, what is it, 8 years later or however long it is, who made out better, basically, than...
Oh, my God.
Right?
I mean, he did so well, Mark Davis did. And you look at the excitement surrounding the Raiders in that city and really changed the landscape and the perception of Las Vegas as a sports town. And it was right at the leading edge of that. And it's been remarkable how there was a time the league wouldn't even utter the words Las Vegas.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they had a great Super Bowl there and stadium, everything. I will say, just on a personal note, Benny, you talk about those times when we were all competing on that L.A. story.
Yeah.
One thing I loved is that we all got along.
Oh, like, yeah.
We were competitors, but we had a lot of fun together.
Oh, and yes, we did.
Got along. It's not always like that on a beat.
No, we had a blast. And every time I pass my bank is Chase. And remember, I don't know if you remember the time where it was freezing cold and we snuck into that indoor ATM area. And we just stayed.
Yeah.
It was like 6-7 o'clock. And we're just like, it's just so nice and warm in here. So, and we had a view of the NFL offices and we were able to stay in there. Yeah. And I thank you for those years because it could have been as trying and turbulent. And it was, we all know that, but it was a blast covering that story with you and everyone else that we covered it with. It was a fun time.
Yeah, I agree. We had a great time together. Good friendships were forged then.
No doubt about it. Sam Farmer, it's always a pleasure to revisit those times with you and to talk to you about the present and the future of the NFL. Take care of yourself and look forward to talking to you down the road, my brother.
Thanks, Benny. Great talking to you, buddy.
You too. That's Sam Farmer, the great Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times. And those were interesting and fun times. And I still, Danny, when I think about, you know, when the NFL came out and finally said, this is the vote. It's going to be the Rams are going to Los Angeles from St. Louis, and the Chargers are the second team in line with them. Basically, they're going to be moving to Los Angeles with them. And the Raiders were the third place team, and just the disappointment of the Raiders because they had their heart set on moving to Los Angeles, and there really wasn't an option available to them at that point because Oakland was just a no-go. It was a non-starter. And for the Raiders to sit there and go, what are we going to do now? And then lo and behold, they probably, played the best hand that you can imagine to land here because as Sam Farmer was talking about, you know, being a pioneer for Mark Davis here in Las Vegas to open this market, and I know hockey was here, and I'm not taking anything away from hockey, but the NFL landing here opens every door for now Las Vegas. And for Mark Davis to kind of be the face of that, he never would have gotten that in Los Angeles, even though I know it would have worked out for the Raiders in Los Angeles. But all the other elements of basically pioneering a new market weren't available to him in Los Angeles, and he's going to go down in the history books as the man that brought the NFL to Las Vegas and opened up all these doors for Las Vegas. It's really pretty cool. So
yeah, absolutely. It's not something that I thought was going to happen, sports being here, just
right,
because of the whole gambling, mm-hmm, like you guys talked about and as previously mentioned, but it's cool to see this city completely opening up. I mean, we've got the A's potentially coming here. A lot of talk about NBA coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Already have NFL, NHL, and UFC is – they have their foot on Las Vegas. I mean, they have two performance centers here. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Still haven't lost the boxing element.
Boxing is still going at MGM and also at T-Mobile. So sports growing here when a lot of people thought really it was only going to be boxing.
Right.
And it's cool to see everything is expanding and potentially maybe 10, 15 years down the road, we could have a team from every one of the major sports here in town.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt of that. And so and for it to be the Raiders, that kind of – and I know, like I said, not taking anything away from the Golden Knights. Obviously, they were the ones that cracked that first egg. But, you know, it becomes a big league town when the NFL is here, or a bigger big league town when the NFL is here. And then because now the NBA looks at it and Major League Baseball looks at it and say if that success is possible, then we should be part of it as well. And that only benefits all of us that live here. There's jobs that created. It pumps money into the economy. There's a lot of good reasons to be partners, you know, with Major League Sports. And we're definitely seeing that effect here with the Raiders. Interesting to get Sam's thoughts on Russell Wilson. And, you know, it was cool hearing him talk about being in team meetings, you know, with the Seahawks for a week. And it doesn't surprise me at all that Russell was sitting at the first row, kind of that star pupil. That's who he is. And I do wonder sometimes, you know, I'll throw this out to Raider Nation, and if you could give us a call at 702-365-9200, your thoughts on this. That doesn't always sit well with some people. You know, there's you know that person that kind of maybe you work with them or you went to school with them that was just sort of a cut above everybody else. And I'm not saying that there's resentment or jealousy toward it, but you know, when you see that perfect person, it sometimes is like maybe your flaws are become more pronounced with you, and you're kind of looking at that person with a little bit of, you know, who are you? You know, and I felt like that he kind of rubbed people that way sometimes with the Seahawks and certainly with the Broncos. And I do wonder, because of what happened, and sometimes in life you get humbled. I wonder if that humbleness, you know, or that humbling experience that he went through in Denver has changed him a little bit, so that if he were to go to Pittsburgh or if he were to come here to the Raiders, if his own expectations of what he's entitled to, what teams owe him, if that changes for the better.
I guess the only way we're going to find out is if the Broncos players and maybe even coaching staff, I doubt it, but if the players come out and talk about how their experience was with him being around, because we know that players in the Seahawks organization, they've talked about how it wasn't that great, like ruffling feathers or whatever. We'll see how the reaction is among Denver players, because like you've said and like other people have said, he wasn't benched because of play.
No.
He was benched because of a stipulation in his contract. Mm-hmm. So maybe it did change from his time in Seattle to his time in Denver and potentially moving forward. But that's something we got to wait and see if any Broncos players will come out and speak on their relationship.
Yeah, and so far none have. And that's kind of interesting in and of itself. Now, he's only there for 2 years. That roster changed over quite a bit. Whereas I think in Seattle, you know, you're there a long time. And you go through the highs and you go through the lows. And you know, people get to really know you. And it felt like, you know, and you hear some of the people that talk. Richard Sherman was pretty vocal about it. And I love Richard Sherman, smart as a whip. And I take him at his word. And I always felt like Richard Sherman was trying to say, hey, man, be more one of us. You know, it felt like that was the message. That was the disappointment sometimes with Richard Sherman is be more with us, you know, in this locker room. And but a lot of times when there's a long-standing relationship, stuff that you put up with when the winning was at a high end, you know, you put up with it, you're okay with it, you know, and all right, we're winning, so I'm not going to complain. But once the winning starts to lessen and there's more losses that start to pile up, then that's when you're starting to, you know, maybe speak out on certain things that you were kind of stuffing down a little bit when the winning was happening.
Yeah, you definitely see people, I don't know if being more open is the right phrase, but they, like you mentioned, stuff that was being pushed a little bit of aside, mm-hmm. it's going to start bothering people exactly. if those things continue and the production isn't continuing.
Right.
So they're going to get more mad at the smaller stuff, and eventually it's going to blow up into something bigger.
Yeah, and for Russell Wilson, maybe you would hope anyway, he would hear that and maybe make the necessary adjustments as a result. I think as the longer we go through life, the more, you know, sometimes you have to hear things or things that maybe you don't even know are affecting people in terms of the way you are. And if nobody's talking about it, how are you supposed to even know that that exists? And then when people do start talking about it, you take a little bit more stock of yourself. And maybe Russell Wilson has gotten to that point in his life. I think the talent is still there. It's not the Russell Wilson from 2012, obviously. But I think there's enough there for a team, a good team especially, to be able to win some football games with. It's JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignore.
The JT the Brick Show is brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence.
Our thanks again to Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times. We're going to go right out to the listener line because Just Win Wendy, our good friend Just Win Wendy, is on the line. What's going on, Wendy?
Hey, Vinny. It's so good to talk to you.
Thank you, and likewise. I hope your off-season is going well.
Yes, it is. You know, and it's just, you know, it's just you and me. We don't have anybody else around, and don't tell anybody what I said, okay?
I won't.
Okay. All right. So it's just you and me, just like we're at Rockstar Bar. We go off in the little, you know, in the little place and talk all by ourselves.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I feel like that's going into the confessional when I was a kid at church. So
I got to say, so I'm old enough to remember March 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this Super Bowl winning or Super Bowl playing quarterback who had years of experience and knew the system and knew the coach and was going to be a great fit, even though nobody could even imagine him in silver and black. And this guy came in, and, oh, my God, he's injured. So he can't go to off season. He can't go to training camp. He finally starts. And what a disappointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really felt disappointed, you know, and let down by that.
Right.
So this year I'm looking at Russell, and I hate to say it, but I got these glasses that I took off and said, oh, my God, not again. Because I really feel like, you know, this could work for Russell Wilson. Fitting in Vegas would be great for him.
Mm-hmm.
And on his side, you know.
Right.
And it's not very much money, and we could definitely use him. I mean, he has good pocket presence. He can definitely get around. He could probably hit Davante Adams with his eyes closed. You know?
Right.
There's a lot of possibilities, but I get really nervous when we pick up somebody like that, because what about the culture? I mean, just this morning I heard that Tyreek Hill was saying that he didn't have a great relationship with Tua, and that he was hoping that it would get better. You know, there's just so much more. There's the intangible part mm-hmm. of culture in a Raider locker room. And I'm just not sure, you know, like you said, some people can actually figure out if they can change themselves and be a little different. But, you know, if it's your basic personality that rub people the wrong way, there's one thing about Jimmy G that I love, and that is he was a great backup. He had been a backup to Tom Brady. He'd been a backup in San Francisco. He played, and then, my gosh, he was such a great backup in Vegas last year when he had to sit and watch. He was always out there throwing the ball with Aiden. He was in the locker room. All the guys said he was such a great guy in the locker room. You never heard one negative thing about Jimmy G. I don't see Russell as being a backup.
No, he would not come. Yeah, he wouldn't come here. For sure he wouldn't come here.
But I mean, the second half of the season, if we actually got a good quarterback, a draft quarterback, that means that we would eventually be putting him in. And so Russell would have to be a backup. And I just, I don't see him that way.
Yeah, and
so I'm thinking, you know, Drew Lock was mentioned by Vic. There's other guys that are not that caliber, but I want a high draft, and I just don't want Russell. So yeah. That's my opinion.
No, and I hear you, and I totally hear you, if I was Raider Nation, if I was Antonio Pierce, if I was Tom Telesco, my first preference, Antonio told us this in Indianapolis. He ideally wants his next Raiders quarterback starter to come from the draft. And
right.
But I think we have to also qualify it with ideally, because ideally doesn't always happen. And I liked your breakdown on Jimmy G. And this is what I'll say about Jimmy G. I don't think Raider Nation ever saw an even close to healthy Jimmy G. And I think that was the biggest problem of that whole venture last year, was that, and in retrospect, I think the Raiders probably should have just cut ties when he didn't pass that physical. And it was kind of surprisingly so that happened, that it came to that.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yes.
Whereas So the Jimmy G that we saw in training camp, it looked, he was moving slow. It never felt right, and I don't think he ever got untracked as a result. I'm not trying to make any excuses, but you can tell when somebody is 100% moving naturally and moving as well as they can, and when somebody's trying to work through something. So. It is what it is, and it happened. Here's my thing about Russell Wilson. There's two things I want to say to your points. One,
yeah.
I don't think the injury factor is prevalent with him. I think he's healthy, so that's a good start. I think he's coming off what was a pretty decent year, and he was top five in touchdown throws when he was ultimately benched. So I think you're getting a healthy player, and I think you're also getting a motivated player. We'll set that to the side for a second. You brought up the perfect point about the personality. And here's where I think I would defer to Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce said some interesting things at the Combine in Indianapolis, one of which was he knows when people are BSing him. He's been there before. He's been in locker rooms. He's been a player. He's had to say things that you're supposed to say. He knows what that whole game is all about. What I would like to see happen at the very least is for Antonio Pierce to sit side, you know, face to face with, if it gets to this point, we'll see what happens with the Steelers and Russell Wilson. But for Antonio to sit face to face with Russell Wilson, and for Antonio Pierce to hear what he needs to hear, or maybe he doesn't hear what he wants to hear, or maybe he hears something that isn't kosher with him, but let him make that call. I think if you put Antonio Pierce and Russell Wilson in a room together to talk things out, because that's what I think has to happen first and foremost when you're talking about these exploratory talks.
And Getsy too.
Definitely Luke Getsy, for sure. Luke Getsy, yeah. That he's going to have to be a part of it. But I feel like I trust Antonio Pierce's instincts in this part of it, to be able to look at,
because he was here with Jimmy G too, so he's seen the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. For Antonio to kind of look him in the eye, and if see if he's BSing or not. See if he's
right.
Gonna want to truly be part of this and blend in and not be the what felt like an entitled player at points in Seattle and in Denver. And if Antonio Pierce walked out of that meeting and says, "I'm good to sign this guy," I think as Raider Nation, you probably should feel pretty good about that. You know what I'm saying? That he is signing off on it. Because
yeah,
I don't think he's
good. If we get to August and we're in Rockstar Bar, I'll support whoever's behind center.
Well, yeah. I feel like I trust Antonio's judgment in that regard. Because
yeah.
I think he could still,
you're right.
I think he could still play. It's like you said, and I appreciate the call, Wendy. It's like you said, that personality and that culture fit. And I think that I really believe that Antonio Pierce puts a lot on that. And if he's not seeing it, if he's not hearing what he wants to hear from Russell Wilson, then I think he'll say, "Hey, thanks for coming in. Thanks for talking. Good luck to you. But we're gonna pass." Whereas if he does hear what he wants to hear and he feels like Russell Wilson is coming in here with the good intentions and with the intentions of blending in and being part of this team and embracing this culture, and he does sign off on it, I actually think that's a pretty good sign. But, I want to throw that out to Raider Nation. Give us a call at 702-365-9200 while we're on that. You know, Raider Nation Radio is starting the year off with a chance to hit the jackpot. Every Monday through Friday, you can win $2,024. Who can't use $2,024? Well, how can you possibly win that money? Well, you listen in for the daily code every day and text it to 702-365-9200 to register for $2,024. And today's code word, if you want to text it in to 702-365-9200. Today's code word is shrimp, S-H-R-I-M-P, which I'm thinking about getting some shrimp a little bit later on. I'm going to Lotus of Siam before going to the baseball game, and I was looking at the menu, and there were some shrimp appetizers on that menu. So I'm thinking about shrimp. You guys should be thinking about shrimp. Text that to 702-365-9200 to register for the possibility of winning $2,024. Did you say we have another call?
We do.
Or do we want to go to the text?
Danny. Let's go to the call, because right after the call, we got to go to break.
Okay, real quick, Raider Tone. My man, Raider Tone. How you doing, my brother? Oh. Nope.
All right, well, no Raider Tone. So
that eliminates the decision-making process right there. It's the JT the Brick Show. I am Vinny Bonsignor.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Modelo Especial, the new number one beer in the U.S.
Breaking news. The Raiders have re-signed a running back. Amir Abdullah has re-signed with the Raiders. Sorry if you got your hopes up that it was Josh Jacobs. I wouldn't rule that out either, but Amir Abdullah is re-signing with the Raiders. And I talked to him about 3 weeks ago or so, and he said he told Antonio Pierce to put it on wax, and he wants to end his career with the Raiders. So he's putting that, he put that out into the universe, and he took a step closer to that happening by re-signing today with the Raiders. And congratulations to Amir. I know that, you know, if you just look at the offensive numbers, it's not, you know, earth-shattering or anything like that. But this dude turned out to be one of the Raiders' best special teams players last year. Go watch some of the tape late in the season, and who was hustling down the field to make tackles on punt return and kickoff return, kickoff coverage, punt coverage and kickoff coverage, and who was back there, you know, taking kickoffs. This is a guy that's been a valuable, in a very kind of a low-key way, a valuable player for the Raiders, especially on special teams. So he gets his wish. He signs, re-signs with the Raiders. He's also probably in about a week getting ready to go to Memphis, Tennessee to open his shoot for a movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Vivica Fox. He has a starring role in the movie. Amir is a guy that's written scripts. He's produced. He's directed. He's been done some photography work, camera work. And now he's taking that next step to actually being in front of the camera as an actor. And he's really, really excited about that. And I know after signing this contract, he's really excited about coming back to the Raiders. So what are your thoughts on that? Moves are starting to happen. I would expect more moves to become official over this weekend and certainly into next week. Give us a call, 702-365-9200. And before we get out of here, kind of piggybacking on what Wendy was talking about, I do think that personality, I wouldn't say it's an issue, but the personality fit with Russell Wilson and the Raiders, if it even, you know, comes to a possibility or an actual sit down, my money is on Antonio Pierce to sit down with him and look him in the eye and figure out, you know, if the Raiders would be getting a Russell Wilson that's in it in terms of fitting in this culture and being a good teammate. Not that he's been a bad teammate, but I think that there's been ways about him that have rubbed some people the wrong way. And as Sam Farmer from the LA Times talked about, kind of separating the locker room a little bit, you know, and you have the Russell, the guys on the Russell side and the guys that were against Russell. You don't want that to happen, obviously. And I think that Antonio Pierce is a good gauge to be able to figure out, all right, is that even a possibility? Or are you going to give me the answers and not just say the words, but actually mean the words? And I feel that Antonio Pierce is a good judge in that. I want to say thanks to JT the Brick for having me in here for the last couple of days. It was an honor and it was a pleasure. Big week coming up, you guys. So be ready for it on Monday morning. This is the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vinny Bonsignore.